Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Our beacon of light, Neil Kulon.
As always, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
For some odd reason, I'll start a quarterback. They were chanting in the stadium, "We want Kenny, we want Kenny." Now, once the Pickett family was done, what's your thought on what you're seeing at quarterback, and is there a magic wand?
There's definitely not a magic wand, and I'll say this. I said this off air too. I was at a speaking engagement where Brian Billick, the old Vikings and Vikings offensive coordinator, Ravens head coach, was speaking. He was talking about quarterbacks from a leadership perspective. He dipped into the talent side of it, which he made clear is they're really two different things, but they kind of blend together. His point was there are two types of quarterbacks. One, the ones that don't do what they're told, and two, the ones who only do what they're told. And his words were, "I'll take the former of those two every time."
Yeah.
Mitch is the latter of the two. After reviewing 9 quarters of play from him this year, I don't know. At first, I thought it was just he's not seeing what's deeper down the field, the opportunities that he might have. Right. And I get, you know, I'm not suggesting at all they just bomb the ball. It's probably not a good strategy, but you've got to throw open deeper stuff. I mean, I can't put it any more plainly than that. He's just not. At this point now, you give him a pass maybe in the first game. I thought Cincinnati did a great job in coverage. They looked really good. There weren't a whole lot of open opportunities. He holds on to the ball. You let your defense win. I get that on game-to-game strategy. New England, I don't feel, was as tight coverage-wise. I felt they had more opportunities. The Steelers adjusted from week one to week two, and their receivers were in better position in this game. And Trubisky, it's as if he's playing with 12 yards in front of him, and that's it. My theory on this is I really think what they've been coaching him on since he signed was don't turn the ball over. Don't make mistakes. We have a good defense. Play within what we have. We drafted a punter. We've spent way more money on our defense than our offense. You don't need to do a whole lot. If we're at the point, though, leading into week three, that my honest-to-God thought is they're telling him not to take chances, it's because I have no other explanation for what he's doing except for the fact that he is woefully inadequate to start in the NFL over an extended period of time. And I don't think that leash can be much shorter than it is right now. You're not going to pull him on a short week. It's just that there's too much. We've seen what happens when a new quarterback has to start in a short week situation. It's usually not good for a team. But if he plays at the level that he played the first 2 weeks against Cleveland, they'll lose the game. And on a mini bye week after that, you've got your 9 days to get ready for the Jets. I don't see there's any way in the world you could play him again. I don't. You know, Mike Tomlin will come up with a different reason if that's what he wants to do. And I don't even necessarily know if Kenny Pickett's going to be the guy they start. But if Trubisky does that again, they're not going to win this game. And I don't see how there's any way in the world you can keep with the guy. It's just he is bringing nothing to the table. He's taking stuff off the table. Like you're setting the table, he's taking it off as you're doing it. Not a guy that you can continue to go into battle each week with, in my opinion. Maybe Mike Tomlin, Matt Canada view this differently, but I don't see how you can do that. Or at the very least, I can understand why Tomlin would be saying what he's saying publicly. There's just no way to evaluate his play to this point as being on par.
We see how, and I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky is Josh Allen. I'm not saying that. But there are a couple of elements that are similar, and Allen can run. Trubisky can run. Knowing that you've got a guy behind him in Pickett, Would you run him more just to put more juice in the offense, even though there's a risk?
I'm not sold on the idea that Trubisky can run.
All right.
I think we've been sold the narrative that he can.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking about that with you back in March when he signed. He's not nearly the athlete that people think that he is. I'm not saying that he's not, but when the bar is 2021 Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, he's going to look like Carl Lewis. I get it, but he is not laterally that fast, and we've seen that. But the problem is, I don't think Trubisky really understands that either. Twice in two games, he's tried to outflank NFL edge defenders, which you know as well as I do, and just for the sake of the audience, your edge players and your cornerbacks are probably the best athletes on the field.
Yep.
There is no way Mitch Trubisky is outrunning those guys. Josh Allen, different story, okay? Mitch Trubisky is not Josh Allen, not even close.
Right.
And he got hemmed into the sideline both times, and instead of, you know, throwing the ball away like I would assume he's been trained to do, he took like 2-yard sacks. It's like, what if you're unable to run and you're not going to throw the ball, you are literally running out of your way in order for your team to lose yards. Those are boneheaded plays, and he makes them consistently. I don't know how much more that people need to see that he's not a runner. He has decent lateral mobility within the pocket. He can evade. He's quick in his first step. He is not fast. He's not a runner, okay? Watch Lamar Jackson versus Miami. That's a runner on the field. That is the best open field running quarterback we've ever seen by far. And there have been a lot of really good ones. Mitch Trubisky is really now he's a slower Baker Mayfield. He's a guy that I thought what I said on him was if you're third and four, he might be able to outrun an open edge to the sticks. It's going to be close. He might take a hit from a safety in doing that, but he's not breaking guys' ankles in the middle of the field and running for 40 yards. He's just not even close to that mobile of a quarterback. You might get 10 yards a game from him running, but you probably don't want him running that much. At the same time, though, it seems the Steelers' offense, whether by design or just this is the way that it's turned out, their receivers are better runners than their running backs are right now. Maybe they want to try the quarterback and doing that a little bit more. I'm not sure. They're not running the ball overall especially well. Trubisky, my opinion, shouldn't be contributing a whole lot to that. But if that's what they need to do, scheme up and design some stuff for him to do it. Get him on the move a little bit. But it seems like they're pretty stuck in what they have. With a quarterback who doesn't see the field particularly well, he can evade pressure, but he's not beating an NFL athlete to the point where he's able to get north and gain yards.
This should be a segment where, hey, they got a chance to be 3-1. Cleveland without Watson and the Jets without anybody. Yeah, you feel like this. It feels wrong. I mean, am I right about that? It just feels like it should be a good segment for the Steelers. Yet it just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right in my mind because I understand the concept behind a win is a win. It's a pretty logical statement. It's not real hard to understand, but at the same time, the manner in which you win. If it's something that is really not repeatable, certainly not sustainable, that win represents only that. It doesn't represent success. It doesn't represent something that you can lean on later on. The win that you have represents right now the win on the scoreboard, also the loss of TJ Watt for an extended period of time. It represents a win that was had by virtue of the other team losing its long snapper, which cost them two missed kicks. Both of them would have won the game for the team.
Yeah.
It is a win. That's true. This is an 0-2 team on the field, and I think everybody knows that. They're lying to themselves if they don't. You're playing a team in Cleveland now that was absolute wild. I don't even know if that's ever been done before. What was it, a minute 20? Something like 80 seconds. They scored two touchdowns and recovered an onside kick and got a defensive stop. a complete reversal of fortune. Really, the kind of 10,000-foot level parity that the NFL wants. You can't turn your back on anybody for any stretch of time in this league, because that can happen. I'm not sure how they lost Garrett Wilson deep the way that they did, yeah. But it's just like, wow. We don't know who Cleveland is. We're not sure what they are, but we know it's a prime time home game for them in a short week. That tends to favor the home team. And I said this at the start of the year. I don't know if Cleveland is really lived up to this as much as I would have thought, but talent-wise, they have one of the best rosters in the NFL.
Yeah.
And their Achilles heel is going to be the fact that it's going to be a while until they get a good quarterback on the field. What's going to happen when it's almost a virtual certainty that their not good quarterback is going to outplay the other quarterback on the field? I don't see how they're going to lose that game. Jacoby Brissett is not a great player, but we know exactly who he is and what he's capable of doing. That is a lot more than what we have seen Mitch Trubisky do to this point. So to me, in these types of games, which tend to be more conservative, kind of grinded out, they're able to play that style better than what the Steelers can. And they have the energy of being at home. They have the lack of travel. It's tough to see. I'll say this. I've bet against the Steelers, Tomlin Steelers, over the last 25, 26, 27 games, many times in which I didn't think they had a chance of winning the game, and they ended up winning it. Everything on paper leading into this, I don't see how the Steelers can start their season 2-1. I mean, it would baffle me if they won, and I think something will have happened if they did. But Cleveland can get things together. They can put things together in kind of a tough time for them. The Steelers, at this point now, they're just not a complete offensive team, and they're down their most explosive defensive player. That's going to – we saw the Patriots scheme up their defense to a high level. They did a great job in protection. Yeah. I mean, they really did. That was a lights-out performance by the Bills in terms of – or the Patriots, excuse me, in terms of their pass protection. And we know that because, frankly, Mac Jones did not play well.
Right.
He didn't play a very good game. It's getting to the point where they're playing teams that play quarterbacks that have not played well. Yes, there's a defensive component that comes into it, but Jones was bad. I don't think Jones would have beaten many teams with the performance that he had on Sunday. And Burrow turned the ball over 5 times and still had 2 chances to win the game. At some point, a quarterback is going to play an average level, and I don't know the Steelers are capable of doing that or beating a team that has that on their side.
The Steelers have been at or near the top for a couple of decades now. Do you think this fan base can handle a season of mediocrity?
Denial is a heck of a drug.
Oh, that's actually the motto of this show.
To be honest with you, last year's team, you're looking up at mediocrity. I mean, I've said this, and I'll defend it. In Kevin Colbert's 20 years as the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think they had a worse team than what they had last year. They were bad. They were fundamentally bad. They probably were a 5 or 6 win team.
Right.
And they got, I don't want to call it luck, although that is a component for everybody. It's just too simplified. They got three or four of their wins were flukes. They really were. And it was the most bizarre season. And for them to start off with another one of those against Cincinnati, at some point, the law of averages tells us this isn't going to continue. They're going to lose. But everybody will say, well, they won 9 games. They didn't lose 10 of the games that they played. The other shoe's got to fall at some point. You lost Watt early. I think that's part of that other shoe falling. This is a significantly challenged offensive team in a lot of ways. And what it's really going to resort to isn't talking about whether the Steelers are mediocre or not. It's who's to blame for it. And right now it seems the leader at the clubhouse is offensive coordinator Matt Canada. I'll say this. Coordination is extremely important. Scheme is extremely important. There are millions upon millions of dollars at multiple levels of football that go into those concepts. I don't know many of them that are quarterback agnostic, which is to say, if you have a bad quarterback, your scheme doesn't matter a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. In the NFL, this is most important. Division three, if you have a quarterback that can run, you can probably do a lot of schematic stuff and be a dominant team. If you don't have to throw all that much, you have to throw in the NFL. Look at the Jets, look at the Dolphins. The ability to throw the ball is critically important for four quarters in the game. The Steelers do not have even a semblance of a passing game right now, but the good news is they can't run the ball either. That's on your offensive coordinator for sure. Not letting Matt Canada off the hook. You're the chef. The ingredients might not have been exactly what you wanted, but you're being paid to make a meal. Mm-hmm. And a real good meal right now. You're accountable to that. I'm not saying that he needs to, remain with the team past this season. I don't think you can fire your offense coordinator and get better results when you don't have a quarterback that can play in the NFL. It's as simple as that to me. If Canada's fate is tied to the quarterback position, he's in trouble. It's that simple. I don't know what else you can do, but you can't scheme up Mitch Trubisky to be an effective NFL quarterback, not with the decisions that he makes, not with the fact that you watch him and it's perplexing how he's missing these receivers on the field. He needs to be able to see that. He needs to be able to step into his throws. He needs to stay in the pocket to do that and deliver an accurate ball. He doesn't do any of those things. That's not a scheme concern. That's a quarterback concern. Get a better quarterback in there, at least one that is going to let a rip a little bit more and maybe turn the ball over more than Trubisky has, but it's going to lead to more points at the end of the day anyway. Until you have that, I'm having a real tough time fully evaluating the scheme that they have in place. And I'm 90% sure I said the exact same thing last season. So a quarterback was paramount then. It's paramount now. You see the pressure building on Kenny Pickett right now, because he's going to have to step up at some point. I don't think it's a very good bet to say Trubisky's going to play 17 games. At some point, he's going to need to step in and lead the team to some points, because the guy they have right now can't do it.
So you're, to sum up, hope is not a strategy. just want to make sure we got it right here. All right. Neil, always, my friend, a pleasure.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.